I'm Bob Boylan with All Songs. Consider just taking a moment to tell you about a special podcast you might not know about. It's called StoryCorps. And StoryCorps travels the country. It collects wit, wisdom, collects poetry. It's the story of everyday people. It's about real life. Everyone has a story, and they tell them so well. Find the StoryCorps podcast now at npr.org/podcasts and on the wonderful new NPR One app.
Bob, so, you know, on last week's show, we talked about the whole phenomenon of musicians selling their songs for TV ads. I mean, it's nothing new, but
No.
But what might be new is that it's so much more accepted now. And we did a call out on our blog asking people, does anything about this still bother you in any way whatsoever? Mm-hmm. The idea of their favorite musicians putting songs, making tacit endorsements of various right. products and commercials. And my assumption was it really doesn't bother anybody anymore. The results of our very unscientific poll are in. Of course, overwhelmingly, the majority says, no, this doesn't bother them. They're happy for their favorite
percentage
artists.
Percentage-wise?
Well, this is about 80% said that it doesn't bother them at all. And in fact, a lot of people said they discover some of their favorite new artists, from ELO and Nick Drake to The XX and Kishibashi, you know, artists that they discovered that wouldn't have known existed if it weren't for these ads. What do you think the number one most mentioned song was as far as songs discovered in ads go?
I don't watch TV. I don't know.
This one.
Okay.
It's Feist.
Oh, sure.
From her record, The Reminder.
One, two, three, yeah. four.
What was she selling?
She was selling. It was in an Apple ad. And, you know, this was like nearly 10 years ago. And Billboard magazine did a report on it, and they said that before the Apple ad, Feist was selling about 2,000 downloads a week of this song. And after it, it jumped up to 73,000 downloads a week. After this song, you know, I don't even know how that translates today to, you know, people who are listening to streams, but...
And that was 10 years ago when downloads were not the norm.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But anyway, I was actually surprised to hear that 20% of the people who responded had an issue with it at all. And even more surprising was the fact that many of the people who said they had a problem with it also said they discovered some of their favorite new music from TV ads. So there's no accounting for it. So speaking of fickle fans, if I may use that as a transition into the band I want to share with you to kick the show off, Weezer. Seriously, you will find no more fickle fans than people who have loved the band Weezer or have loved the band Weezer. Well, Weezer this week, they released a new single, a new song, and it appears to be just a one-off thing. There's no word of a new EP or record coming. But, you know, Weezer last year put out my favorite record, Everything Will Be All Right in the End. I just think it's a brilliant, beautiful. That something happens to me when I listen to this band. I just feel good, and I want to jump up and down with my fists in the air. And that's exactly what I thought when I heard this new song.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Are you ready? You want me to lose the shirt?
I'd lose
for
the
this?
Shirt,
okay. Yeah. Would everyone be more comfortable with that?
Kate, our intern. I don't think this is going to work, is it?
No, I think it's going to be good.
You think so? Okay, yeah. Fine.
No, you'll thank me later. Yeah. Trust me. The song from Weezer is called "Thank God for Girls."
The girl in the pastry shop with the net in her hair is making a cannoli for you to take on your hiking trip in the woods with your bros that you've known since second grade. And your main kind of dragons are ruffians and be called upon to employ your testosterone in a battle for supremacy and access to females glued to the TV. And even if you are victorious, you may receive many cuts, bruises, and scrapes, and you will require band-aids and antiseptic ointments and tender loving kisses on your stab.
Christ, from Tennessee.
cardamom and cloves. Microwaved it on the popcorn setting while Adam was like, that really hurts. So pissed at God. And he started lighting mighty forest fire, stealing us three eggs. Messing with the bees who were trying to pollinate the echinacea. Until God said, I'm gonna smite you with loneliness and break your heart in two. And Adam wept and wailed, tearing out his hair. His knees looked to the sky and said, thank God.
Rivers Cuomo, not without a sense of humor in his music, for sure.
Really funny words.
Yeah, he had lots of great wordplay in that. I love the drummer of this band, Patrick Wilson. Pat Wilson, it's just that pop he gets on his snare. It's so awesome. Weezer, you know, this song, Thank God for Girls, there are a lot of parts of it that are funny, but I think it's a lot more complicated than you might, than it seems the first time you listen to it. It could be seen as just this party rock anthem. Yeah, thank God for girls! But, you know, it's very, you know, he takes on so many different things in this, everything from misogyny to religion, the traditional roles of men and women in our society, and you know, religion, the little cover picture that they created for this single, it shows the Pope greeting throngs of fans, cheering, adoring fans, and there's this nun who's facing him, and the face of the nun bears a striking resemblance to the Pope himself. So there's a little bit of a statement going on in there about the roles of women in the church. Anyway, the more times I listened to the song, the more complicated it got for me, and you can enjoy listening to it many times.
It's quite a dance you did, too.
I nearly threw my back out. I had to stop because I thought I'll be in traction.
Yeah, put the shirt back on, and that's an awful lot of dark chocolate espresso beans you've
been
eating.
I brought this in. I was like, what do we got here? Oh, my gosh, 29 pieces is a serving. I can totally do 29 pieces. I was afraid, you know, like a serving would be 10 or something, but it's 29.
If we had a sponsorship in the middle of our show, we'd right now be talking about the espresso beans.
Yeah, the dark chocolate espresso beans.
Got you up and dancing.
Anyway, thanks, Weezer, for that song. That band makes just the most insanely catchy music.
I'm going to play something high energy, too. This fellow from New Zealand. His name's Marlon Williams. I saw him at CMJ. And this song I'm going to play for you is called Hello, Miss Lonesome. Marlon Williams was a choir singing teenage boy in New Zealand. His dad was a punk rock singer. Introduces him to country music.
That proves my point that I've been thinking a lot about this, that no matter what it is, kids are going to rebel against their parents, right? So maybe I shouldn't play rock and roll around the house.
Well, but it's his dad brought him to country music, which is kind of like a good middle ground for a punk singer and a church choir singer, right?
Yeah,
country music, I think country music sort of right there in the middle. So Marlon Williams has been doing a duet with another fellow in New Zealand for a while. His name's Delaney Davidson. They won a bunch of awards for country music records, but now Marlon Williams is out on his own, has his first record. The song is called Hello, Miss Lonesome. You keep chewing those beans because this is going to be right up your alley here.
Actually, with a name like that, I would assume it's sort of a slow, sad love song.
Oh, yeah? Well, take this.
Hello, Miss Lonesome. I see you back in town. It's funny how I lose my mind. Knows where to hide when you come knocking at the door. The king in his castle. And the beggar on the street. Miss Lonesome's in the eyes of almost everyone you meet. Longest night that ever did occur.
when my daughter say goodbye and put the boy to bed. Now we all pick our poison, we dig our own graves, and Jesus is accountable for every soul he saves. There's gold in the river.
Pass the espresso beans.
You know, flat picking music like that, it's just like speed metal, honestly. Whenever I hear it, I think these guys are on fire.
I was playing this the other day, and Kate, who sits across from me, our intern, Kate, said, you remember?
Oh, I thought it sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded like a lot of fun, too.
It was, and so here it is. Marlon Williams is the artist, and he'll have a record coming out in 2016. I'm sure there'll be more information about that than I have right now, but will be soon.
Let's keep it down there around that area, New Zealand, that whole... let's go to Australia next door.
Cool.
For the psych rock band King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard from Melbourne.
And the amount of Z's in that...
Yeah, it's G-I-Z-Z-A-R-Z-L-I-Z-A-R-D. W-I-Z-A-R-D. King, you're a fan of this band.
They last year at CMJ was one of the most fun bands. I swear to God, the guitar player turned inside out, upside down, and played a solo.
Yes. Well, you right out the gate, you're expecting some comedy out of this band. You don't name yourself King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard without your tongue planted firmly in your cheek.
Forked.
But there's a lot of playfulness in their music, but it's also very loud and a lot of fuzz. Great rock band, great garage rock group. And that said, they've got a new record coming out that is almost entirely acoustic.
Right, it's very puzzling.
Have you listened to this one?
Yeah.
Well, the record is called Paper Mache Dream Balloon, and it includes this delightful little romp called Bone. Oh, Blood and milk. Sounds like the theme song to some early 1970s family sitcom or something.
Oh, I could hear that. It reminded me of that. There was this group from the Midwest. Maybe it was Illinois. Is that the Midwest?
Illinois, yeah.
Yeah. So, Spanky and Our Gang is a band. Is this the sound?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. they don't talk about blue skies and sunshine.
That's
anymore.
Awesome.
A group song called Lazy Day. Anyway, that immediately brought me back. It wasn't the espresso beans at all.
No, you're not starting to hallucinate yet like I am. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, that's the tamest cut on the record, Bone. I mean, it's not a hard record or anything like that. It's just a lot of it is sort of strange and kind of epic at times. This is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, a very prolific band. They have put out 6 full-length records in the last 3 years. So they are on a roll. Paper Mache Dream Balloon.
We should find out what fuels them.
Yeah. Something's in the water down there. Paper Mache Dream Balloon is due out November 13th.
Okay. I've got something for you. Listen to this. Tell me if you know the voice.
James Blake.
Hi, well, maybe. Okay, keep going. Right, well, let me skip ahead a little bit and give you a little better clue here.
Every part of you is pulling me so
I have to say it's pretty easy.
Yeah, okay, Milos. Let's not tell anyone.
Milos. I guess it's Mike Milos, but I think of the solo records Milos. That's how I first heard him.
Right, or Rye, as people probably know that voice. So I got a story to tell you, and then we'll play this whole song. This song's called Don't Pull Away. There is an incredible project. It's called the DNA Project. It's by this guy, Jonathan Dagan. He goes by the name of Jay Views, and he's doing this thing called the DNA Project, which is basically he's writing a record and documenting the process as he goes along, and all of the music that Jonathan does, all the music that Jay Views does, he looks for a vocalist to fit what he's doing. So he's traveling all over finding singers to go with the music he's writing. And he's sitting in a studio one day playing an idea for Lo Fang. Let me play this video. And it is an interaction between Jay Views and Lo Fang and how they came up to wind up calling Mike Milos from Rye.
To sing on this song.
I continue my journey with this song, and my handsome friend Matt Lo Fang came for a visit. I love his musical inputs. He's a great musician, a great vocalist. I wanted us to get together, throw some ideas on the song.
You will never change. I love it. I could be sort of like a love song.
And I played in my version of the song with my vocals on, and I've been having some problems with it. I'm not really finding the direction yet. So he said, you know his voice you can hear on this? Do you know the singer from Rye? I said, yeah. I thought she's the only person there. It's a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mike. So looks like the next stop is L.A.
So anyway, I've been listening to this Jay Views thing. I've been missing Rye, missing Mike Milos and his music, and I got his phone number. And so this morning, we call him up. He's in Luxembourg, tour number, like, venue 300, still touring with Woman, the record that Rye did in 2013 that we love madly, playing new songs and so forth. And I was curious, what's his attraction to the song? What did he think when he first got this song? From Jay Views and his friend Lo Fang.
So Lo Fang, Matt, we were touring together, kind of got to know each other really well, and he kind of understands my sentiment and stuff. And he just emailed me one day saying he's really good friends with this guy named Jay Views, and he's got this track that he's looking for someone to sing on, and they're developing it, and he just thought it would be really perfect for it. So he sent me an email saying that I'd be interested in taking a listen to it. And because I trust Lo Fang and I trust his whole vibe, I was like, yeah, send it. Because I'm usually fairly reluctant to do collaborations because, I got a lot of stuff going on.
Uh-huh.
And then, I just fell in love with what they sent me. So I was like, yeah, let's do this, absolutely.
So did Jay Views come to your place, or how did that work out?
first they kind of sent me stuff, and because he was in New York and I was in LA, I just was like, let me like talk to you on the phone about it, my intention that would kind of go into the lyrics and how I want to approach it. And I don't want to hear any melody ideas from you because I don't want it to kind of alter where I would want to go with it. And he was totally just very cool and respectful with that whole kind of process. So I threw down like a rough vibe, a rough vocal part, because I don't do like rough demos when I do demos. I record it as if it's a live take, and sent it to him, and we talked about it. And then, yeah, he ended up coming down to my house. We talked about it some more, drove in, and we hung out and just kind of had like a nice evening of talking about stuff, you know. And then I just went back and just kind of finished the lyrics and finished the vocals and sent them all that stuff. And then we started talking about the arrangement and how the arrangement could work with my voice, because it was a very different arrangement before, but once you throw in like a chorus and a verse, and you got to rethink some of the arrangement. And yeah, he was very understanding as a producer with trying to get to a place where it made sense to have voice on it.
Do you remember your first reaction to hearing the music? You liked it, obviously. Did it say to you, oh my God, this is a love song. Oh my God, this is a, you know, a song of loneliness. Or...
Well, for me, I just kind of write, which is sometimes devastating for me, but I just write exactly about what's going on in my life right then. And I just knew it just fit stuff that was going on in my life. And it's just one of those weird, like, cosmic things where everything just aligned perfectly with the timing, with me being in LA, available to do it. And it was very cathartic for me because, I mean, the song's obviously very personal to me now.
The song's called Don't Pull Away. I don't want to get more personal than you already got in the song, but do you want to give us a little more context? You said you had a lot of going on in your life, and it was perfect and it was cathartic.
You know, I've done almost 300 shows in the last couple of years, and the sad reality of that is it can put a lot of stress and a lot of pressure on your personal life. My wife would generally travel with me to all shows, but sometimes when you get on the more grueling kind of tour schedules, it becomes quite taxing to just city after city after city, getting no sleep, and you know, you're struggling to get good food, and it just puts a lot of pressure on people. And that song is basically as a result of the pressure that was put on, basically asking her to stay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You mentioned that the orchestration changed a lot after you guys talked. How's it different?
Well, because before the vocals were in, when you're making a song, you're tempted to throw kind of everything in it and just be like, there now. Because you're kind of making up sometimes for the fact there are no vocals, and that's perfect and amazing if it's an instrumental track. But once you get vocals in there, I think you've got to leave a lot of room for the vocals to not be competing sonically, but also it kind of waters down the meaning of the words if you have words that you really believe in, if there's too much going on at the same time. So that's what Jay Views and I were kind of talking about when he came over, is just, okay, so how are we going to rethink the arrangement but not lose these beautiful moments that are musical and they're there? So just some shuffling things around to give me more space for the verses, just so there's no sonic competition, and for vocals to really hit you and to make, I don't know, an effect in the listener that is hopefully cathartic. I think there's got to be this space around the vocals that just kind of, I don't know, just support the vocals, but not... yeah, just not do the wrong things with it. And he was just very, like, a caring guy, and it came through with the way he approached working with me. He was very caring to the fact that I'm pretty particular about how I want my voice to work in songs, and I kind of know what I want to get out of me when I was looking at myself objectively from the vocal performance. And it just seemed really aligned with what he was also trying to get out of the track. And it was just one of those really nice moments working with someone when they're creatively caring, not just respectful, but like understanding with the emotional sentiment.
That's beautiful. Hope to catch up with you soon. Thanks for this. I love hearing your voice, your project, and this little marriage is very, very sweet.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it so much, man.
All right. Cheers.
Be well.
Okay. Cheers. Bye-bye.
So for all of us who yet haven't heard this song, let's play this song by Jay Vuse with Mike Milosh singing on it. And the song is called Don't Pull Away.
Some seriously smooth stuff.
Yeah. You know, he always borders on this line of, and he talks about it, about cheesy.
Yeah.
And but it's economical, and because of that, I think, you know, it works. Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, that kind of music can really drive me up a wall.
Well, yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like, you know, I this is just so, just towing the line between the kind of music that I just can't stand and the music I love. And his voice, though, is so transfixing. I could listen to him sing anything.
Yeah. Mike Milosh is singing. Jay Vuse is the artist who wrote the music and did the arranging. Jay Vuse is J, the letter J, period, V-I-E-W-Z.
Z.
Z. And this DNA Project thing is incredible. documenting all the steps of making a record. And so it's the record is literally unfolding as you follow this project, which is just a beautiful thing.
Really lets the fans in.
Yeah.
To see what's going on. Kind of pulls back
feedback
the curtain.
And the whole thing. Yeah.
Everything. Well, let's go out on a healthy bit of noise, courtesy of the band Savages.
Oh, good.
Savages, a group that we discovered a couple of years ago now in Austin. I think that was the same year that we saw Rye play in Austin.
2013?
Could be. Yeah. This is a group of women from London. They just make loud, aggressive, in-your-face rock. They've just announced a new record coming out called Adore Life. And the first song
Adore,
like I adore you. And the first song we're hearing from it is called The Answer. And since this is the last song we're playing, I'll just say going into it that there is this fantastic push and pull in this song between the message and the tone. I mean, the message is love is the answer. But they're screaming it at you the entire time you're listening to it. And, you know, it kind of reminded me when I was listening to this is like it captures the outrage and exasperation that you feel when you want people to do the right thing. And when you need to be good and be doing the right thing, too. You know, there was this time this cab driver in D.C. was just honking incessantly. Like, if I even tapped on my brakes to, like, stop for a pedestrian, he was laying on his horn. And I lost it. I got out of my car, and I screamed at him to calm down.
There I
am. Like, love is the answer! So that's keep that in mind as you listen to this new song from Savages from their record Adore Life that doesn't come out until January 22nd. Wow. Yeah, we're already looking at January music. A great tune from Savages, The Answer.
And as we're looking ahead, let's look ahead just to a couple of days from now, which is Halloween. And on our Plus One podcast, if you don't know we do this Plus One podcast, subscribe to our podcast. You'll get both this show, but you'll also get very special things we do every week. Last week was an interview with
Nico Case and
John Grant. That was just a hoot. And here's a little preview of something that we're going to play this week.
Haunted House. The large house at the end of the block stands like a challenge to me and sticks in my mouth like a bad tooth demanding attention from the end of my tongue.
Martin Atkins tells stories, and he
inducements and distractions placed in my path. Oh, help me! Help me! Please!
Oh. It's our little story. Our Plus One podcast will be Martin Atkins doing a Halloween story.
I keep getting the jitters listening to that because he opens with the theme to Halloween. I don't know if you know that song, a John Carpenter theme to the original 1978 movie Halloween, which is a truly horrifying film.
Well, this is truly horrifying in its own way and in its own comedic way. We love this guy, Martin Atkins.
I've also had a tremendous amount of these chocolate-covered espresso beans, so I apologize for anything I may have said or done during this recording.
The music was good, though. I like what you chose, so I'd recommend a dose.
All right, well, one more.
28 of them?
One more.
All right.
One more.
Savages.
Yes. The Answer.
See ya.
Thanks, Bob.
Happy Halloween.
If you don't love me, don't love anybody. If you don't love me, don't love anybody. And you're glad it's you, and you're glad it's you, and you're glad it's you, and you're glad it's you.